I grew up in this kids and student ministry at Brazos Point Fellowship. My small group leaders encouraged me, loved me, and helped disciple me and grow in my walk with Jesus. After having experienced that, I decided I wanted to join the student small group ministry and impact the lives of young girls who might be facing some of the same challenges that I did at that point in my life.
So being a part of our small group, we saw the connection that we had with our leaders and how much they poured into us. That relationship's really special to me, and I can go to them for anything. So I realized how important it was that I wanted to pour into other people and help them grow in their faith.
All of our small group leaders have had a really big impact on our lives. They've continuously gone the extra mile for us, sat down and talked with us, and really made it personal for us in small groups and for everyone in our small group, not just us. So we stepped out and decided that we really wanted to get involved with kids ministry.
When it comes to being a parent and making disciples of your kids, we recognize that it's our responsibility. We're the primary disciple makers and we own that. But we also know that it's a team sport and we need all the help that we can get. And so we're so thankful that we've had so many people invest in our girls and so many great small group leaders that have come alongside them.
I love my preteen small group leaders because they're kind and I look up to them and I get to pie them in the face. And I love working as a volunteer in the preschool room with the two-year-olds.
I'm Aubrey and I'm a student small group leader. I'm also one of Carson and Cora's small group leaders.
I'm Carson.
And I'm Cora.
And we are Cooper's small group leaders.
My name is Cooper and I'm a preschool small group leader.
Being a leader, I'm able to plant God's word in the hearts of these students, and that will serve them well as they begin their journey into the independent adult world. It also definitely helps whenever you have an army of people who serve God surrounding you and teaching you the word.
Seeing that we do have an impact on these girls has been a really good reminder for us to stay true to our faith and continue to grow so that we are giving them good examples and giving them the right knowledge that they should have as they continue to grow for Christ.
I love being a preschool volunteer because I can just make sure that all the kids are comfortable in the room, and then we get to go down to clubhouse, and then we can come back and do the lesson, and just it's so much fun. I think that just because we're younger, that doesn't mean that we still can't teach.
Well, I really love that story, and what I love most about it is it just shows the layers that we can experience as Christ followers as far as the impact that God can have through us. Like, this is really cool, and the cool thing about this story that I really think is kind of remarkable is we started just wanting to share Carson and Cora's story. Like, we didn't know the other pieces that played into that video. We started with the intent of let's share Carson and Cora's story and them volunteering and serving. But then as layers began to be unpacked, it was like, oh, well, they're this person's small group leader. And that's why this is the case. And they're led by this person in small group. And so all of these kind of layers came about as we began talking through this story. And I know there's others like it here. But the cool thing is, like, we as Christ followers sometimes don't know and understand the complete impact that our lives are going to have. Like, it's just, it blows my mind to think about all of the different ways that God can use things that we're doing, just being obedient to Him to continue to do that. And moms, you're this way as well. Like, you will have an impact on your kids that will continue on throughout generations. And a lot of times you may not know this or may not understand this, but like one of the things we see and talk about a ton in premarital counseling is that regardless of whether you liked it or not or whatever the case was, because we all come from different family backgrounds, your family will determine a lot about how you parent your kids, but also what your marriage relationship looks like. Like, your family determines a lot of that and has a huge impact on it. Sometimes people don't even realize the amount of impact that it has on it. Either they were trying to emulate it or they were trying to go away from it. But moms, you have a ton of impact. And I realize this. The other thing I love about moms and specifically talking about is they just love their kids. Like, they're all about their kids. Parents, it's this way too, but there's a reason why there's a phrase and a saying, a face only a mother could love. Because sometimes even when others may not necessarily love your kids, you're going to love them, right? And that's kind of a joke, like I'm sure, and all of your kids, they're loved, and they're loved by other people, but you love your kids like no one else on earth. Like, parents, you do this. I spent 6 years in student ministry and experienced this just for myself, and I didn't really understand it completely until I have kids of my own, and I'm in this, but parents, we think our kids are just the best. Like, we do. We think that they're the best, the most talented. We think that they are the best at something, that they're smarter or ahead of the curve. Like, I was sitting, we were sitting in conversation yesterday. We were at a fishing deal, and I was sitting around, and literally, like, 20 feet from me, I heard a parent say, yeah, they're only 3 weeks old, and they're already so far ahead of where they should be. I was just like, oh, it starts, right? Like, this is the point. But that's what we do. Like, as parents, that's what we do. And here's the deal. I want to affirm you in that, because your kids are smart and strong and talented. Your kids are amazing as far as what they can pick up on and what they can understand. Like, I'm amazed at the things that my son understands in conversation at 3. Like, he'll just ask me about something. I'm like, how in the world did you know we were talking about that? Like, what word gave you this context? Like, they are smart and talented. They are. I was at parent commissioning last week. We were commissioning my kids. And one of the things that Greg, our lead pastor, said was in talking about kids and being careful to overcommit with time and different things, he said, man, you're going to think that your kids are awesome and great and talented, and so you're going to want to put them in all these different activities, but be careful of that. Like, your kids are talented. Sure they are, because they were made in the image of God, but your kids were made for more than endless activities. They were made to love God and made to live for his purpose. And even in the broken mess of sin and the result that that has on humanity, we see this. Like, I spent some time when I was in A&M, one of the classes that I was in, I was a youth development, was kind of a major, and one of the classes that we were in was kind of research as well as like leading a youth program in a juvenile detention facility. And so we spent some time there, but we had to go through an orientation process because we were going to be spending time with some of the kids, just talking to them, asking questions, facilitating this kind of youth program thing. And they gave us just a breakdown on some different things that would happen, and maybe some different things that the kids would do and things to look for. And those youth in that facility, they were telling us about this kind of communication that they created with hand signals and different sounds or noises and all this stuff. And it was just amazing that they had come up with all of this. And there were so many other creative things that they were doing. Some and a lot of them were against the rules, but so many different things that they were capable of doing and creating and making out of pretty much nothing. Like, there was nothing, their resources were really, really low. And I just remember sitting there being amazed at how many things that they had come up with. Like, wow, they created that, they came up with that, they knew how to do that. And the reality is even in their position, they reflect their creator, they were made for more. Yes, absolutely, they are creative. Absolutely, they are intelligent. And this was just a reflection of their creator. Man, of course your kids are talented. They have so much potential. There's so much potential in the human just creation, because we were created in the image of God and we reflect our creator. And so as a result of that, we were made for so much more than just to punch a time clock here on earth. We were made for so much more than to just discover who Jesus is and what he's done for us and let that be the end of it. We were made for so much more than to just develop a relationship with him and keep that in to ourselves. We were made for more, and we were made to guide others to Jesus as well, sharing with them what we found in our own relationship with him. This is our purpose as Christ followers. This is what we were made for. And we've really kind of unveiled or unpacked this disciple-making pathway, which really identifies these phases of a Christ follower's life, and it allows us to help you in those phases. And so we've talked about this the last few weeks, but I don't want to assume that you know or you've been here. And so take a look at this video and look at the whole part of what the disciple-making pathway is.
Following Jesus is a journey. Next step by next step. We're not just wandering aimlessly. No, we move with direction and purpose. That kind of movement needs a plan and a path, a GPS for the journey. The disciple-making pathway is your GPS as you journey with God next step by next step. A follower of Jesus is also called a disciple. You become a new disciple when you discover relationship with Jesus. At this point on the path, we guide you into next steps as you continue to discover new life in Jesus. With Jesus, you come as you are, but you don't stay that way. As you continue the journey, you become a growing disciple and you continually develop as you learn to know and do what God says. At this point on the path, you guide you into next steps as you continue to develop in your life as a disciple. But here's the deal. Every disciple grows to understand. It's not about you. As you continue the journey, you become a disciple-making disciple and you deploy as you go, living on mission with God. At this point on the path, you guide others into their next steps as you continue to share what you have discovered as a disciple. Next step by next step.
So really what we want to talk about today is that last phase, that deploy phase, what it looks like in the Christian life. And it says that this disciple-making pathway is like a GPS. It's like a map. It's like something that tells you where you're at. I'm thinking about this, and I think about the time my wife and I were in Paris last February, and in a city that we didn't know, with people that spoke a language that we didn't understand. Like, it was hard when we first got there to figure out what was going on. And I'm pretty good with just like in the moment, you know, we'll figure it out. But we get off the I remember just getting off the subway and like going to this train track, and there's like a bunch of just counters that have all French in it, and I don't know a lick of French, and so it's like, I don't know what it says. Well, there's just people like rushing around us going like, man, and I had to figure out first, like, where am I? Where in the world am I? What's going on? What am I doing? I don't even know how to get there or to the place that we were going to, because I have no idea where I'm even at, and I had to figure that out first. Thankfully, there was a lady who helped us and decided that. We bought the tickets we needed and got out of the airport and got to the place that we needed to go, and from there, we were able to figure it out. But that's what the hope of this disciple-making pathway is, a way for you to figure out and assess, okay, where am I, and understand some of those things, what that looks like, but then also to grow in that, to understand more and to take next steps in that. So the first week we talked about this first phase, this discover phase. And really what we talked about was being a disciple of Jesus, a Christ follower is someone that just believes in what he's done and will do for you. It's not something that you just try harder at or do something else. It's something where you accept what Jesus has done for you as truth. The second week, we talked about this develop phase, and this is really talking about what Jesus has done, and what Jesus has done impacts what we do. And really, when we discover what Jesus has done for you and step over that line of faith and we begin to develop, we begin to take ownership of faith, you guide you is the phrase that's used to describe that phase. And we actually released a class last week called Developing Your Faith in Jesus. And it's a 4-part video series. It's a way for you to figure out what developing looks like, to kind of assess where you're at, but then also give you some areas for growth. And this is for all people, all of you. We'd love for all of you to take this. It's not just for those who are beginning in faith. We've got stuff for all of you as far as resources and next steps to take, whether you've been a Christ follower for a day or 50 years. We have something there for you. You can access that through there's a QR code in the program. There's a link on the website, personal growth tab on the app. You can go to brazospoint.com/develop as well. But then today we want to focus on this deploy phase, and we're going to be releasing a class later on this summer, hopefully, that will have a similar deal as what we have for this develop class, a way for you to understand it a little more, but then also to have some next steps, some ways to grow or develop in this deploy phase. But here's the deal. This is what we call this phase is you guide others, and you guide others is already in you. You want to know how I know that? Because typically when you find a good restaurant, it's in me. Like when I find a good restaurant, I'm going to tell people about it. Like I'm going to share either a photo or Instagram, or I'm going to tell somebody, hey, this place was so good. You need to go try this. Like I'm going to tell someone, and it's not work for me. Like, I don't view that as like, oh, I got to go tell somebody about this great meal I just ate. Like, I am enjoying that. I want to do that. Partially is because it's like, man, I got it and you didn't, right? Like, we want to tell people when we found a good restaurant or whatever the case may be. but you like to help or share with people. Like that's something that reflects your creation too and kind of how we were created. It actually does us good health-wise for us to help other people. And what you've realized if you've given or if you've been generous with something is that the thing that you give typically only multiplies when you give it away. You experience more love or more peace, more forgiveness, whatever the case may be. When you give, this love is a gift that multiplies when you give it away. But in the same way that you would like to share a place to eat and not view that as work, the same should be the case with deploying your faith. But it's not, and I realize that as we develop in our faith and we experience this deeper relationship with Jesus, it should be the case that we just become something that we want to do and get to do. But a lot of the times when we talk about deploying or guiding others, this phase that we find in the Christian life seems hard and difficult and challenging, seems awkward at times. And the develop and the deploy phase are definitely connected and related. The deploy phase is not the end of it's not the end of developing. Like you don't get to a point, like we're in graduation season right now, right? So there's people that are going to walk across the stage. And what I thought every time I graduated from high school and college and so on, what I thought was, okay, I never have to do any of this again. I don't have to read another book. I don't have to study this anymore. And some of you are in that phase, like you're almost there and you're going, man, I just do not want to have to do this anymore. But then what you realize is like, no, you got to keep learning because there's new stuff to learn with the job and all kinds of other stuff. Like the deploy phase is not the end of developing. You've got to continue to develop, continue to learn, continue to grow in order to deploy. But again, why doesn't this happen automatically? Why is it so hard? Why is it difficult for us to think about as Christ followers? And I think the biggest thing that keeps us from moving from the develop phase to the deploy phase and guiding others with what we have is this notion that we have to reach a certain level in the develop phase before we can deploy. Like I think as Christ followers, we feel like, man, we've got to have this wealth of knowledge to be able to defend the Bible or maybe answer questions that someone else has or even defend the doubts that people may have about stepping over a line of faith. Like we feel like as people, if we're going to lead someone there, we've got to have the answers. We've got to know when they have a question, we've got to understand. It's even something that I feel as a Christ follower when I meet with people about not knowing an answer to something. It's like, man, sometimes I just don't know. And I got to go research it, and I say, hey, let me get back with you on that. But that's not an easy thing to do. We feel like we got to have this wealth of knowledge. It's like for you, maybe working out, you may feel like, well, I'm not going to a gym until I have a six-pack. Well, that's kind of silly, right? Because you got to go to the gym to get the six-pack. But a lot of the times we feel like, man, I've got to have a six-pack before I go there because I want it to look like I know what I'm doing. I want to look like I understand all this. I don't want it to feel like I've got any questions left. But deploying in our relationship with Jesus is not like that at all. We've got to continue to go and take these steps. It's the same way of going to the gym. You're never going to get there unless you go. And it's awkward at first, right? Like I've been at times in my life where I haven't worked out in a while and I go to the gym and it's like, oh yeah, I can do that weight. Like no big deal. I don't need a spot. No big deal. And it's awkward. Why? Because you realize, yeah, you do need a spot and you aren't able to do all of that weight. You aren't as good as you thought you were. And so there's awkwardness in that. And in the same way of deploying, it feels awkward at times when we start, but we've got to start because there's no prerequisite hours to get to this point where we have to deploy. There's not a state of kind of knowledge that we have to hit before we go there. And I think we find a really good example of what this looks like in John 4. John 4 is in your New Testament. It's the Gospel of John, Book of John, that's about Jesus' life. There's four of them. And what's being unpacked here is this story of this lady, this interaction that Jesus had with this person. And we see the discover and the develop and the deploy phase. And we see all those kind of happen pretty quickly in someone's life. And so what it tells us is that we don't necessarily need all this knowledge to go and deploy in our faith. So Jesus and his disciples are passing through. They're actually passing through an area in Israel that would have been avoided by most Jews because a certain ethnic group of people lived there, the Samaritans. And they would have gone around it. Most Jews would have gone around it to just avoid contact with these people all together. They didn't like them at all, but not Jesus. He loves everyone, and so he's just going to go right through it. And as he goes through it, he's resting from his journey. his disciples or followers go and buy food in the town. And as he's sitting there at this well, he has this interaction with this woman. And there was every reason for him to avoid interaction with her. Again, the ethnic thing was a big deal. But then she was also a promiscuous woman. And so that was another thing that would have kind of made her unclean in Jews' eyes. And so Jesus had all these reasons to avoid conversation with her, but he does. Or he ignores that and he has conversation with her. He reveals to her who he is, that he's the Son of God, and she discovers him and what he's doing and going to do for her. And so John 4:27 is where we're going to pick up. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Again, there were certain societal things that would have been reasons for him to just avoid conversation with her. And so they're a little bit surprised that he's talking to this woman, because it was just kind of the societal thing to do, the cultural thing to do. It's what they knew. But they walk up, didn't say anything. They probably, at this point, they know who Jesus is and know it's like he's going to go out there and talk to people. It's like the friend that you have that's going to make a friend with every single person you meet in the store you go into. Like, you just know they're going to talk to somebody. So you're just kind of like, whatever. He's just doing his thing. So that's kind of what the disciples were doing here. But then in verse 28, what we see is then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah or the Son of God? That's a word to describe that. Then in verse 30, they came out of the town and made their way toward him. And I just love that first part of verse 28. She left everything she had right there and just went. She discovered something that was so impactful, that was so life-changing, that was so valuable, that she was convinced and went from discovery to develop to deploy. She has this conversation with Jesus. She begins to develop this relationship with him. But then not soon after that, she immediately goes and shares what she's found. And our Christian faith, our faith in Jesus is more than just a way to find forgiveness. It's more than just a guarantee of life for us. It's more than just a set of beliefs or a code or a to-do list that we need to follow. It's more than just a source of comfort for us in hard times. It's a call to follow Jesus and to share that with the people around us. Like, this deploy part of this phase of a Christ follower is part of our creation. It's what we were made for. We were made for more, to know God more. But we were also made for more, to share what we have. And when you understand that mission, you'll feel its demand. You'll feel that pull in a positive way, and it's something that you want to do. You'll have this burning desire to get to work on it. And it's something that as you begin to grow more, you feel that pull on it. But again, why does this not happen? Why is this something that we have a hard time with? I think we feel like we've got to know more than we do. But hear me out on this. If you've ever stepped over the line of faith, if you've stepped over the line of faith and made Jesus the Lord of your life and you're developing a relationship with him, you have everything you need to begin deploying today. You have everything you need to begin deploying today. Continue to develop. It's good to understand these things. I said last week, it's good not only to understand the what of what Jesus did, but why he did it. His love for you, his care for you, his compassion for you. We need to understand those things. But at the same time, don't wait. Don't worry about what you don't know. Share what you do know about Jesus with others. And I love how the woman does this, right? Like in verse 29, I love what she says. She says, come and see. Come and see. She doesn't say, hey, I've got all this knowledge that I'm going to try to do. She didn't feel like she had to have all this knowledge that she had to have to share with these people. She didn't feel like she had to convince them. She just said this, come and see. Come and see what this is all about. And this is what the deploy phase is. Invite someone to go along with you. Invite someone to go along with you to come and see what you're experiencing and discovering. And you can guide others and yourself at the same time. Like, a lot of the times these things happen together with each other. And it's more than just this story that you had. God's also given you a specific set of abilities and gifts. He's given you the knowledge of this truth that Jesus has stepped over line, or that Jesus has died for you. Look at what 1 Peter 4:10 says. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in various forms. And that phrase, the gift you have received, there's scholars, there's people who study the Bible, who've studied the Bible for a lifetime and would disagree on what this is exactly talking about. And so I don't want to settle in on one. I think it could be both as well. But it's really talking about, is this a relationship, that is this gift the relationship that you've discovered with Jesus, or is this gift some special gift or ability? I think God's equipped us with both. I think he's given us both, and regardless of what this is specific thing is talking about right here, it could be both, and God's given us both of these things. You can't control how God has gifted you, but you can control if you use it or not, if you share it or not, and how and when and if you use these gifts. And so you were gifted to serve others, so serve. You were gifted to serve others, so serve, not just within our church, but outside the walls of our church. Again, this is why you were created as a Christ follower. And understanding this can help really change and shape the way you think about this concept of you, God, others. And the reality is that some of you were created with a specific set of abilities. Some of you relate to an age group really well. Some of you relate to preschoolers really well, or elementary kids really well. Or maybe some of you say, man, that is not for me. I relate to adults, and you relate to adults well, or you're more geared towards students. Regardless of whatever it is, God's given you that desire. Some of you are not comfortable at all in front of people. Others of you love the spotlight and can handle it well. And it's not something that's necessarily a bad thing, but lead in that area. Like I said, others of you are like, man, do not put me on stage. Do not hand me a microphone. But you'll gladly go out to lunch with somebody and talk with them. You're great in one-on-one conversations. Recognize and realize that. But the first part of 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you were gifted, each of you were given a story, each of you were given a gifting that you are called to use, that you were created to use as Christ followers. We have this phrase around here that everybody serves, and really what that looks like is so many of you are serving. Most of you are serving. A lot of you are even serving in multiple roles, and I want to just say thank you for that, because your serving helps us maintain and continue to be a church-filled church. If you're not serving and you want to step in, come talk to me or somebody else after, and we'll help you step into that. But again, it's not only serving here, it's serving others outside of this church as well. God's given you a specific set, a skill set. He's given you a specific story to share, and he's also given you great clarity on what you're supposed to do with that. Matthew 28:19 is a spot where Jesus is talking. It's a passage known as the Great Commission, but Jesus is talking to his disciples right before he leaves to leave the earth, and he says this, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." Here's the deal. Your mission is given, not chosen. Your mission is given, not chosen. But the human nature, the sinful human nature inside of us wants to choose our own destiny. Like, we want to do our own thing. Like, I see this even at a very early age in my two-year-old. Like, there's times where he just wants to walk out with his shirt backwards. It's like, no, you're not doing that. Like, it's just not going to happen. Some battles, I just don't try to fight, but that one I will, for now at least. It's like, I've still got energy to go, no, you're going to turn your shirt around. But he wants to choose his own thing, and in the same way, we want to do our own thing. But when we give control over to God and we allow him to have control of our lives, then we also accept his mission. We accept his calling for us. Here's the thing, we're not serving some God that just rules with an iron fist, that doesn't care about us, only cares about himself. We serve a God that we can have confidence in, because he knows what's best and he knows what's good, even when it doesn't look like that in our lives. And so as Christ followers, our mission is clear. Deploy your faith in Jesus. Deploy your faith in Jesus and embrace your responsibility to guide others and make disciples. And I love what he says at the end of verse 20, "And surely I'm always with you." Man, that's so comforting for me, because I know that I'm not alone. It's not just a to-do list that he's going to go, hey, do this, I'll see you when you get back. He's with me. He's going to give me what I need. He's already equipped me with a story, and I've been given a specific mission, and I have specific gifts to go and deploy my faith in Jesus. In the same way, you have those specific gifts. You have a specific story. And out of what Jesus has done for us, we lead others to find what we have found. But why do we do this? Why? Why do we spend all of this effort? Why do we talk about this a lot? And I think it's helpful, because when you understand the why, then it makes your what so much more impactful. It makes what you do so much more impactful. Let's go back to that story of the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 39, many of the Samaritans from the town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. She said, he told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to this woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that that man really is the Savior of the world. This is the why. This is the why. This is why we do what we do. This is why we spend effort and do the things that we do. Why? Because what it says in verse 41, and because of his words, many more became believers. Woman said, hey, come and see. Just come and see. Come and see. She led them to who Jesus was, and they discovered it for themselves. And not only did they discover it for themselves, but they continued to develop as well. They said, Jesus, hey, stay with us 2 more days. And he stayed. This is such a cool story of what it can look like in our life, but what does it look like in your life? Where do you start? And you may be having that question now. Where do I start? What does that look like? What do I need to do? Start with the circle of influence you already have, because you spend a lot of time a lot of different places. Some of you spend a lot of time at school. Some of you spend a lot of time at work. Some of you spend a lot of time doing a hobby or maybe even volunteering somewhere. Some of you spend a lot of time at home with neighbors around you. Even if they're a mile away, you've got neighbors. And so begin with that circle. Man, Jesus had every reason to ignore that woman, but he was intentional about his life. He sat at a well. Why? So he would see people. So he could talk to people. So he could meet people. Man, how can you be intentional with your time? How can you be intentional with your time both at our church and within our church and within your life outside of our church? You may have heard me tell this story before, but this really changed my view of how I looked at this. When I was in college, really what I thought at that point is I don't have a lot of time. Like, I don't have a lot of time to go and share my faith like what I thought that was going to be. Which obviously at this point, it's like I had tons of time. I don't know what I was thinking. But I was working and some other stuff. It's like I had a lot of time then. But I just thought, man, I don't have time to do this. And I really struggled because it's like I thought if I was going to lead other people or share my faith, I had to kind of schedule time outside of this. The thing that I'd seen before that was like knocking on doors or going and talking to people just randomly. And that was something that was hard. It was awkward. It was something that I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. But it all changed when I went started going hunting with some guys, and really, I just wanted to go hunting. But what we realized is that there were some other guys that part of the ministry I was at, international students, that wanted to go hunting as well, and multiple of those guys stepped over the line of faith into duck blind. I tell you that to tell you, look, God's already given you a specific story. He's given you a specific set of hobbies and skills and interests that you have. And so use that. Start there. Just be intentional with your life. Like, Jesus didn't schedule this trip just so he could meet this woman. I mean, he obviously knew that, but he was just living intentionally about his day, being intentional with the time that he had. And we've got something, a big vision for the next 5 years that we've been working on called Vision 2026. It's something that we want to see happen. And it's this, Brazos Point Fellowship's 2026 vision is to send people across Brazoria County and around the world to engage thousands of unchurched people with the gospel and multiply scores of churches locally and globally. Man, this is a huge vision. It's a huge vision. This is the thing that keeps me up at night and gets me out of bed in the morning, because I realize there are thousands of people in this area that are not being led by Christ, that are not being led by Jesus, that are going to bed without hope in the morning. And we can count a few thousand that we've engaged in our county, but not thousands. We can count about 20 or so churches that we've helped plant, but not scores. And so as we begin to develop, as we discover and begin to develop and then deploy our faith, how will you be deployed? And what I realize is all of that's up to God. Some of you will be deployed across the foyer to help in the next gen area, to help with students, or to lead an adult small group. Others of you will be deployed to your hunting camp or a school in Angleton or the place that you work or a trivia night that you go to with friends consistently. Some of you will leave here and plant churches like West Oaks and West Columbia that several left to go and help plant. Some of you will deploy new churches like Stephen and Jessica Searles in Seattle. Some of you will deploy and go move everything you had to a different country, like Kevin and Lauren in Southeast Asia. Some of you will deploy in short-term missions, like Allie, an intern who's serving in Africa right now, or a former intern that's serving in Africa right now for a season. Maybe some of you will deploy for a summer or even a couple weeks. And this is a pretty lofty goal as a church. It's a vision that's a big, big vision. So how do we see it happen? How do we see this come to be? And we see this happen through you guiding others like we saw in the story at the beginning of the video. Through you just being faithful to what God's called you to and doing that here. Through you being faithful to what God's called you to and helping serve on Sundays, which so many of you are already doing, or working with students or leading an adult small group. We see this happen mainly through you being intentional in your life and living a deployed life by inviting others in to say, hey, come and see what Jesus is doing. Just come and see. Not worrying about what you don't know, but only sharing what you do know, continuing to grow. And ultimately, we can see this goal met if you continue and I continue to take this next step of deploying our faith in Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come to you now this morning. And Lord, I just ask and pray that you would just help us to see what it is that you have given us. God, I pray that you would help us see that you've already given us what we need to go and deploy. And though that may feel awkward and seem awkward, that we would just begin to say, like this woman said, hey, just come and see. Just come and see. As we begin to ask that and say that, then God, that you would just give us more and more and more ways to begin to take our next steps in this deploying phase. That we would be able to lead others and to guide others out of what we're learning on our own. But God, I also pray that you would help us to realize the gifting that we've been given, the passions that we already have and the things that we're already doing, and help that to shape how we live our lives intentionally. God, that we would just be intentional in those areas. Because you're not calling us to, some of us you may, but most of us, you're not calling us to go and move somewhere else or do something different. You've already given us a group of people that we have influence over right now. And so God, help us to see those people. Help us to be intentional with that time. Help us to realize this vision and live like Jesus in the sense that we see the opportunities. God, I pray we wouldn't get so caught up in the things that we're trying to do and all the stuff we have going on, which it's a lot. I feel that. God, help us to see you in that. Help us to lead others to you, saying, hey, come and see what Jesus has done for me. And God, I pray that you work and grow the number of people who trust in you in this area through us, through this church, through the other churches in this town that are seeking to reach lost people, unchurched people. God, help us to have a heart for that, but also to realize our purpose and our mission and embrace it. God, we love you and we trust you. Shall we pray?